Thanks for joining us for the executive series. Today I'm speaking with Richard White, who is the CEO and founder of WiseTech Global. Richard, it's always good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you too.
Now, you have just reported some rather pleasing results. Any number of features stand out in your numbers. The rate of compound annualized growth, revenue, EBITDA. What stood out for you as far as the last 12 months are concerned?
I think the real thing is that we're continuing to execute on the strategy that we set up when we came to market. We're doing exactly what we said, and we're making the numbers that we said we're going to make, and actually a little bit better than we said we're going to make them. But you know, the 44% growth in revenue, 45% growth in EBITDA was what we had planned and what we delivered. And most of what we do is, the work on that was done 1 or 2 years ago. It's not like we had to rush around this year and find those sales. We had most of that baked in, and we're really working on next year and the year after today. But you know, when you have a compound annual growth rate of over the last 5 years of 41%, this growth spurt is not a growth spurt. It's actually planned, it's executed, and it's going to continue.
Now, you talk about your internal margins, which when you compare it to, you know, listed universe is quite unique. Tell us why you're in such a unique position.
Well, there's a couple of reasons, but first of all, a lot of people don't know this, but we actually run the whole company on the product that we sell. And because for many, many years now we've been working on automation and process management, workflow, we do that everywhere across all the key parts of the business, and we have improved our yield out of that business year on year for the last 5 years. And in fact, this year we've got defect rates down another 19%. That means you've got a very high quality product, a very high quality system that's generating lots and lots of rich new features for customers to use and to pay for. And across the rest of the business, we have this model that you might think of as the Australian model. Atlassian certainly has this sort of same general idea. We spend a lot on product development and quite a small amount on product marketing. And despite spending, you know, 10% on product sales and marketing, and despite having a very high R&D spend, our growth, organic growth, out of that 44% revenue growth, with 37% of that 44% was organic growth, despite only 10% sales and marketing spend. And when you look at that and the less than 1% attrition rate we've had for the last 6 years, you're starting to see a machine that's ever growing and becoming more and more powerful.
So that's actually an important number to hone in on, is that, you know, 1% of your customers decide to either move or leave the platform once they've signed on. Right. That's quite rare as well, isn't it?
Yes, and that's actually all causes. So it's bankruptcy, departure from the industry, acquisition by a competitor, and an actual deliberate decision to leave. So of all causes, and that's on a revenue basis or a seat basis, it's the same no matter how you measure it. It's a very, very low number. It really means that customers are staying for incredibly long periods of time. And as a sales business, we don't have to build up what we lost last year, because we're not losing anything much to speak of. That means that we can focus most of our effort on accelerating the growth of the company by giving better and better product outcomes.
Now, one of the features of the WiseTech story in recent years has been the rate of acquisition. And for people who would be viewing this from a distance, they might have reasonably become anxious about it. But you had a very deliberate plan about the acquisitions that you were targeting, seeking to get 90% of manufactured trade in G20 countries. Tell us how you've managed to get these acquisitions into the WiseTech ecosystem so seamlessly, and where are you on that journey of getting to that 90% figure?
So we talk about the G20 plus 20, and that's about 90% of manufactured world trade. And that's a very big target to get
that's
to.
That's a massive target.
There's a bit of work to do to get there. Yeah. We're not completely finished on that. But as you say, we came to market, people expected us to do some acquisitions, but they really probably didn't quite hear what we were saying. We were going to do what we've done, and we made that very clear. But having done 22 acquisitions in the last 14 months, people were quite surprised. However, let's look at those acquisitions. None of them were for sale. All of those acquisitions, the founders have stayed. They typically get about half the fee up front for the sale of the business, and then there's a series of milestones that they get paid on, earnouts, but it might take 2, 3, 4, 5 years even. And Those milestones create the value for WiseTech in those investments, and they're very sure values. They're really leading indicators of the WiseTech model. They'll all become mini WiseTechs in their country or in their market. They'll inherit the efficiency model that we have. They'll inherit many of the other metrics that we have. And over that transition, those founders will be the managing directors of those divisions, and we will actively work with them to make sure that that's very seamless. But even on the first day of completion of those acquisitions, we're usually on the finance system that we have globally, and they're usually starting on the transition from non-WiseTech to WiseTech model. And the founders are delighted by that because it gives them a whole new vista of opportunity to break out of their geographies, to break out of their markets and do something bigger and better.
Now, notwithstanding the extraordinary numbers around your platform, Cargo One, you've got 99% of recurring revenue. The attrition rate is very low, but you've still got some pretty hefty investment numbers that you're going to put into that platform in the next year.
Right.
One would argue, well, if it's that good, why do you need to keep putting that money into it?
So, look, CargoWise One is a very powerful platform. Clearly, we're getting a lot of sales, a lot of organic growth from it, but for me, that's not good enough. We need to build the operating system for global logistics. And that means that we're not going to rest for a very long time. There's a lot of growth ahead of us. And a lot of what we're doing for the future is building out our technology lead, deepening the capabilities across the platform, moving into domestic road freight and into other vertical markets, putting a very powerful foot on a number of other addressable markets, so the TAM of the total addressable market of the company is growing very rapidly, and actually creating whole new product areas that nobody's yet seen or thought of. Just like the sort of the iPhone when it came to market, suddenly people went, wow, the addressable market for that's much bigger than what I saw a year before when I was looking at Nokia. We want to build things that really have that kind of feel where we're solving a deep problem that nobody thought could be solved, because they thought it was the way the world was. We're trying to break through and create this really deep operating system, this platform that everybody can use from shipper through to carrier through all the third parties. And all of those components have to be completely perfect, and they have to be best of breed, and they have to be available in every major geography, that G20 plus 20. That's a big deal. That's a lot of spend we've got to do.
It is, and that is a group that is really running into some concerning times when it comes to the conversation around trade at the moment. When you listen to the conversation between Donald Trump and his opponents or adversaries in relation to trade, are you a little bit concerned about what you're hearing and what you're seeing?
Look, I think the way to look at this is just whenever there's a problem, there's also a solution on the other side. And if you think about it, when trade terms change, it has a very positive impact on our business, because it means that old legacy systems that were built in more stable times no longer seem to fit the purpose. And so if you get an increase in tariffs or even a decrease in tariffs, you need a different processing angle. And so we see a lot of people coming to us saying, look, we're not able to deal with this stuff anymore. It's too rapidly changing and our legacy systems aren't able to keep up with it. Can we have a look at CargoWise One? So it's an opportunity rather than a problem. I think everybody understands that we don't want to go too far and blow the world up, right? But I think we're a long way away from that. And really the issue is that change in international trade, increases in tariffs or decreases in tariffs, trade agreements, all of them offer a benefit because they change the principles, law and regulation around the border. And we're the guys that actually make the principles, law and regulation of the border safe and efficient. So it's a plus.
Richard, we talk a lot about e-commerce, but it's probably fair to say that there's a quiet revolution going on in this universe. Things have been broken apart. They're coming back together in a different way,
right,
that is really going to be important in terms of continuing to drive the growth for WiseTech when you look over the next couple of years.
Yeah, let's just look at that and drill in a bit. So the bulk chain, particularly sea freight, has probably stopped growing at quite the same rate. It's growing about 3% a year now. And people worry about that. They go, what does that mean? But they fail to look at air freight, which is growing much faster than that, and particularly road freight. Road freight's growing in the US at about 15% per annum. Now, if you get into that and drill into what's going on, it's the Amazon-Alibaba effect, where it used to be that you would drive into, David Jones here in Australia or JCPenney's in the US, and you'd buy your goods and you'd drive them home. What's actually happening now is people are ordering online and getting that delivery the next half day or the next day. And that means that a truck is taking a huge number of small deliveries door to door, from warehouse to door. And that one bulk delivery to JCPenney's or Macy's or David Jones or whatever turns into hundreds of small deliveries. And that efficiency of that is critically important, but the volume of that is so large that that's a big increase in the addressable marketplace and a big new service offering that, that the market needs. Now, in order to do that, you have to have software that ensures, and technology that ensures, you only touch those parcels very lightly and very quickly. The moment you start handling goods manually, doing paperwork, you can't afford to do it that way. So it's got to be highly computerized. It's got to have a lot of technology along the chain, at the export border, across the mid-mile on the air freight, into the air freight terminal, splitting it into the small parcels and delivering it to the door of the consumer who ordered online. That requires an entirely different approach, and that's an evolving thing, but we've got a great new product in early adopter testing with a major air freight forwarder, and that's looking very good for us for the future. We'll be rolling that product out for quite a while now, but it's a really successful model product targeting a really big area of e-commerce.
Richard, it's always good talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Lovely to talk to you too. Thank you.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.